Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, it's Malls. Welcome to episode 58 of Please Advise. Christina Lopez, how are you, girl?
I'm much better. I had a cold this week, but I'm almost completely better.
That's right. You had a summer cold, girl. I felt bad for you.
Yeah, I was going around my office. So that's what you get for working around other humans.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Was I a good friend to you this week when you were sick?
Yeah, I think so. You offered if I needed anything, but I'm usually just like, you know.
No,
like
I know you won't want it. I've always said you would drive yourself to your own abortion and then like listen to This American Life in the parking lot after to just like chill it out. Or you'd maybe just, like, go home and you wouldn't tell anyone. You'd be gone for 2 weeks and then we'd see you and you'd be, like, all fucking emotionally destroyed. And I'd be like, what's wrong, girl? And you'd nothing.
It would be like, oh, we went away for a weekend somewhere in, like, Santa Barbara when we were in our mid-40s and I had been drinking, like, an entire bottle of wine and it just came out. That's when it would happen.
That you would tell me?
Yeah.
Well, no, I know you would lie to me. That's what I'm saying. You would come back and
I wouldn't lie to you. It would just be sort of a lie of by omission. I just wouldn't
like
say
anything.
I feel like
that's definitely, that should be a movie. Like, all these girlfriends go like Julia Roberts, Meryl Streep, like Toni Collette, maybe Toni Collette in the
I
mix.
I love Toni Collette.
I mean, I love her. She's fantastic. Diane Wiest, perhaps.
Yes.
And they like all go, Wiest. They're girlfriends from something. I don't know.
Maybe like a Diane Lane.
They met in AA.
Yeah.
And then
they're all white actresses. Like, can we get like a couple actresses
Vandy
of color?
Newton.
Okay.
Vandy's in the mix.
Yeah.
And then I would love to see Vivica. I always enjoy her. But I feel like maybe there's an unknown.
I feel bad because I don't remember the actress's name, but the woman who played the mom in Selena.
Oh, yeah. I don't know her name. Yeah. She was good, though.
She's on an ABC family show.
And God.
Her name escapes me, but she was dope, and I think she would be good in that.
Girl, can I tell you something really embarrassing? I actually am getting very emotionally overwhelmed just thinking about it right now. My face is getting hot. Okay, so when you said Selena, it reminded me that I had a really, because Selena, I have really embarrassing emotions about. It's like really emotionally affects me, that story.
I feel that way about Aaliyah.
Yeah. I'm not, I wasn't the same for Aaliyah. Selena, for some reason, is so.
Aaliyah and Lisa Left Eye Lopez.
But I don't think they got proper movies, which is why it's the biopic that I'm really into.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Selena really hit home. I'm from Texas, Houston.
Oh, that's
so
right. This is
she
you guys
was the queen of that. You know what I mean? The time that she died, like 95, she had sold out a huge arena, the Astrodome.
Yes.
And I remember, I was probably in like second or third grade, and I remember my mom telling me that she died.
Yeah.
You know?
That was very emotional for a lot of adults. I remember that.
Very culturally important artist.
She's very, very culturally important, huge. And she has, she still has her store.
What do you mean? What store?
So in the movie, it's kind of like they don't really drive it home enough, but Selena had like a fashion line and she had her own storefront.
I kind of remember that.
Yeah. And I guess her store still exists. And I know that they have a statue. Like
I've seen the statue.
I want to go to that. I wanted to drive to that when I lived
Yo,
in Texas.
Yo, no lie.
I never got together.
The statue of Selena has a fat ass.
Really?
I swear to God, it's so accurate. Normally, you would think, you know, statue maker would be totally square and just give her a little flat butt. It was true to life.
Yeah, R.I.P. Well, that's good. I think that's very important. Well, I know the family had to approve that, and I don't think they would have let a flat-ass Selena go out there.
Hey, if my daughter ever dies early and has a fat ass, I'm making sure that it's represented in the media from now
on. That's really beautiful.
Our family legacy will still be here, you dig?
You guys, that's our guest, Fat Tony, by the way. Fat Tony, I was about to tell a story about how I cried today at the supermarket.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because... Well, very cool. Do you ever just like see something that like sets you off on a real journey?
What kind of journey?
Okay, so I saw a woman and I've seen her there a lot of times and she was offering a $20 coupon if I signed up for a Ralph's credit card today. And I had to decline politely, but I've seen her there many times before. She's a white lady with like very, her bangs are very tight on her forehead.
Mm.
And then she has, I don't know how to describe them, like Coolio braids.
Age?
Maybe in her 60s.
Oh.
And she has dark brown dyed hair that does not match her skin. So it's very, it's like her skin is old and white and pale. And then she has this really beautiful dark hair that's in a very strange style. And
maybe she's a juggalo.
Well, maybe, but I really,
they don't age.
I wanted to laugh at her in my heart. My heart immediately went to a place of, oh, that's funny. That's different from me. But then I was like, Molly, that could be you. Like, and what if I don't have any kids, or if I have kids and they fucking hate me?
I think about that.
And I work at the supermarket and I look fucking crazy and no one tells me because they're all scared of me because even my own kids hate me.
Well, I feel like if your kids hate you and you're hella depressed, you should really do whatever you want. Especially if you're hella old, you know, you like kind of know that your life's a little limited or at least not as free as it once was. Do what you want to do.
I think there's a very fine line between like being liberated and like not giving any fucks about your own life anymore to the point where you're
true.
You know what I mean?
It can be detrimental.
Do not confuse the two.
Yeah. It's a very fine line of like giving up all hope. And then, like, not giving any fucks. It's a very fine.
I mean, yeah. I don't know if having Coolio hair is giving up all hope, but shit, maybe it is.
It's giving up all hope of ever
you
getting
work
laid
at
again.
Ralph's every day. You wake up, put your hair into Coolio hair, comb your bangs down to your forehead, and walk to work knowing that your children fucking hate you and you're gonna eat Thanksgiving alone again this year. So Tony, what we
but
do?
Doesn't
here
that
is-
happen for some of us now?
Even
at the age that we're at?
No,
I've totally.
But I don't feel like it's manageable at our age. Like when you're old, it's really
drink it
hard.
Away.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Just drink it all away.
I know. But like, I guess the old people don't feel like that's fun anymore. I feel like that's usually the vibe I get.
Or maybe they're just permanently drunk, so they can't get any more drunker. So it's like, I'm just floating.
They're always like kind of on
coasting.
A good one. Yeah. So Tony, I asked you, last night I asked you, by the way, so it's like, okay, if you didn't do it, three reasons why you're qualified to give advice. Did you bring them?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
First reason is I'm smart. Second reason is I've experienced a lot. And third, I really listen.
Okay. All right. Now I'm going to ask you your questions back.
Okay.
Who is your biggest hero as a child?
As a child? What age?
Any age. The most memorable hero of your childhood.
Damn. As a little kid, as like a real little kid, like I'm talking like maybe 6, 7, 8 years old, I really wanted to make movies. And I thought that I would be like a movie director. So I would write these little fake scripts, like just doodles really, and I would use action figures to like act out movies. And I made up this movie called Don't Wake Me When I'm Cranky because I was tired about going to school. I like still found this all written out. And my biggest hero at the time was Jim Carrey because he was a huge star in like the mid-90s. It was totally slapstick funny. And I wanted to put him in like every movie. So he was probably my first hero. Then moving on, it was music and stuff. Like I was a big fan of Nas when I was like 12 or 13. I was a big fan of Tribe Called Quest in high school. Big fan of E-40. Big fan of Prince. I would say Prince is probably my biggest hero as of now.
Oh, yeah. Prince is the best.
Best artist.
I would do anything to hang out with Prince.
I like Prince so much that I don't even really want to like do music with him. I just want to chop up game and just learn and just keep him doing what he does.
I understand that. I respect that. I feel like there's certain people in my field that I feel that way about, but I would just want to like hang out and see if he'd want to like massage me and talk and stuff.
He probably would. You know, I heard he likes to give his girlfriends a bath. Like that's a,
oh, that's nice. That's we were speaking about something, a scenario similar to that earlier.
Exactly.
Tony, what's something that makes you cry?
Hella good music, hella good art, period. Like, all my life, I've been emotionally open to anything cool, especially music. And I'm not afraid to laugh when a song makes me laugh, cry when a song makes me cry, get upset when it makes me get upset, get happy when it makes me get happy, whatever feeling that the song's trying to send to me. If it does it right, I'll totally abide by it.
That's beautiful. I'm not afraid to evolved.
Express myself to music.
What was the last song that made you cry?
Man, I was listening to this Nas song yesterday, New York State of Mind Part 2. It's from an album he put out in 99. And it's like
it's
the song is like a sequel to a song from that Illmatic album. Yeah. And there's a part in it where he's talking about like, you know, growing up and how he like started off with like six friends. One friend gets killed. One friend snitches on him. One friend goes to jail. One friend changes their life. And at the end of the verse, he's like, all I got in the end is two of my best friends, and we all going to war to the death of these ends. And it sounds simple, but it really hit me because I feel it as a young man and as an artist. You know what I mean? Coming up in like music, starting out as a kid, I had so many peers, so many friends that made music with me or did some form of business with me. And over the years, I've seen them fall off till there's just a few of us, and we still persevere.
I love that. You're a very sensitive guy. I enjoy that about you.
I mean, I gotta be. I'm just being honest.
That's very true.
I mean, you're an artist, so you have to tap into that. So I guess it has to be on a surface level at some point. So it's not, I don't know.
That's the whole point of being an artist, is being honest, even if it's a mistake. You know what I mean? Like, there's sometimes where during a recording or during a show, I'll stumble over a word or I might actually trip or something, you know, but that's life. That's kind of like, you know, music is kind of like a conversation. Sometimes when we talk, that conversation might trail off. Sometimes you might stammer. Sometimes you might mispronounce a word. And I think that all needs to be represented in music too, at least my music.
That's awesome. So wait, so when your music, I mean, when your art is very autobiographical, my writing has always been pretty, like, from a very personal place. There's a lot of things I won't touch, though, from my life. Is there anything from your life that you will, like, that's too sacred to incorporate into something that you...
Man, there is. And I've been really thinking about this for years now. Like, when I was making my last album, like when I was in the writing process of it, before even recording it, my grandma passed away. And I felt like I should be able to put this in my music, but I never found a proper place for it. But I did write, like, I journaled about it, and I wrote a rock song with like a band I have on the side for fun. I like wrote a piece of music after I left her funeral, but I didn't have any words to match. And I feel like, you know, maybe that was something that I could only get out through notes rather than through lyrics at that time. But I look back at it now and be like, you know, that could change. I could write about that one day. There's always room for,
Were you and your grandmother very close?
Yeah, very close. We like lived together my whole life.
Yeah, my grandmother and I relate that too. And my grandmother and grandfather died 6 days and 6 hours apart. And like, really? I didn't even think they loved each other that much, to be honest. Like, that's how strong their love was, that it was like silent.
Dude, that's so crazy because recently, a friend of mine, her mom passed away.
Yeah.
And then like 2 weeks later, her dad passed away. Yeah. And they're totally separated. They lived in different countries even. It was so bizarre.
Yeah. And it's bizarre in the sense that it proves to you that you do have a weird fucking connection with people you're not even with at any given time. Like, there's always invisible cords out in the universe of people that you're tethered to, and it's wild. Yeah. I changed as a person, I think, after my grandparents died a lot. Do you feel that your life, like, markedly changed, or do you think it just was a new chapter?
It was the first time that I felt like someone could really die. Yes. Because I've been to funerals, like a relative's funeral, but I didn't really have like young friends of mine pass away. I think I've had one friend that was like my age pass away young, right?
Yeah.
And even then, I wasn't super close to them. But my grandma, someone that I literally see every day, day in, day out for my entire life, that's like, whoa, she's gone. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that gives me chills. It's a really deep way of putting it. Because it's true. Death seems abstract your whole life until that one first big loss.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks.
And then it takes a while to like settle into the fact that you never really get over it. You just move on from it.
Totally. But you know, when it comes to like my music and an autobiographical thing, I don't really look at my music like that. Some of my songs are about me. Some of the songs are made up stories. Some of the songs are about friends. Some of the songs about some I saw on like TV. But all in all, it's still trying to communicate something very real.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think, yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think you're sharing your diary, but I think it's like, you know, it's themes. Like, you bring in those themes. That's how, I don't know how actors do it.
There are people that feel that way, like, especially in like rap. There's like lots of people that feel like your lyrics and your subject matter has to be absolutely true to you. I think that it should be, but not in the sense that it's directly about your life, but it should be true to whatever you want to express.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. That's a difference.
Sometimes that thought process, I think, can be a hindrance to a lot of artists.
100%. Yeah. Well, that's like getting to write animation or something, where all of a sudden it's like you don't have to worry about sets or like how you can film that or like what that would look like. You can literally just make anything as crazy as you want and make it your own world, as opposed to having to live in what other people's vision of what a world is, I think. Okay, so we have this game called Do You Fear That? I think you can learn a lot about a person from their fears. Before we give people advice, we got to know your heart, man. Answers are yes and no. You can feel free to elaborate. Being naked in front of someone who's angry with you.
If it's my girlfriend, I'm not afraid. If it's a stranger, I would be afraid.
Well, I got naked at a spray tan after the spray tan lady screamed in my face. And she didn't scream in my face. She verbally assaulted me over text. And then I got naked in front of her like 5 minutes later. And
I was late to the appointment. That's why.
Oh. It's here nor there. And so, but then, so I rolled up very apologetic. And I was like, I can go home. And she was like, no, come up. So I went up to her place and I had to get spray tan by someone who was very angry with me just mere moments earlier.
How angry was she on a scale of 1 to 10?
She was like, what kind of person does this? I don't even know Jackie Johnson. Don't ever bother calling me for a spray tan again. And I was like, ah!
Wow. Well, did you do a shit job or was it good?
She was cute. She's cute. I like her a lot. She's a really, really cool girl. And
she needs some anger management.
You know what, though? I hear this is what it is. She's a girl on her hustle who has people like fucking everyone from porn stars to club girls to everyone in this game blowing her off whenever they don't want to go to their appointment.
Word.
And she's like running a business out of her house. She's got fucking bills to pay.
Yeah.
I understood. I was like, girl, I was like, let me just one-on-one with you right now. Not only do I want to have you on my podcast, I actually should just give her phone number. I'll include that on Twitter. Two, deep space.
Oh, am I scared of deep space?
Yeah.
I just thought you were being cute. No.
Like she was just staring at you and was going, deep space.
I'm not scared of deep space.
Oh, I think it's terrifying.
Are you scared of dying? Yes, I don't want to die.
Specifically.
We can confirm that.
Specifically in deep space.
I definitely don't want to die in deep space. Like, I at least want to die in, like, the U.S.
Shit. Do you want to know my whole problem with the movie Gravity? Is I thought that bitch was so stupid to not want to die in space. I was like, why would you try that hard to get back to Earth? I'd be so happy. Yeah. I'd be so
you're just
happy.
At the first sign of, like,
you just, you'd
like,
be so happy.
You would just take the helmet off.
I told
like,
you,
I
lean in. I'd be like, I'm here. I've waited my whole life to get to space. Why wouldn't I want to die here? That's hard to go to space.
I waited my whole life to space.
Yeah, I don't know. You have to try really hard to be an astronaut. Okay, fire.
Fire? Yeah, man, I had a house fire when I was like a little kid right before Christmas. And
that's
Christmas
really scary.
Was fucking canceled.
Wait, so how badly did the house burn?
It was a two-story house. The entire second story burned down. So the foundation was there. We had to live somewhere else for like a year or two. And then we saved up enough money to rebuild the house and move back in.
Oh, my God. That's traumatic.
It's fucking whack.
I don't think I know anyone that's ever happened to.
Being a little kid, dude, we lost everything. We lost all my baby pictures, everything.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
All my textbooks. The fucking school made me buy textbooks again. It was whack.
The school made you buy textbooks? That's fucked, actually. I want to go back in time and buy your books for you. That's fucked.
Thank you.
Food in countries you've never been to.
Am I afraid of them?
Yeah.
Hell no. I love eating food that I never had, and I especially love going to countries I've never been to.
That's beautiful.
I love it.
Where's the dark place you want to go to?
I would love to go to Nigeria because I'm half Nigerian, and I've never been. I love to go to London because I've got family there, and I've never been. Probably my number one place to go in my life is Tokyo. I've always wanted to go to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a cousin that's about to move there. He's going to be an English teacher. I'm about to go crash with him and fucking get it in. But traveling and touring and going to different countries, different cities, that's my favorite part of being a musician. I love performing and traveling. And to do them both at once, it's a fucking match made in heaven for me.
That's amazing. The dark.
I was afraid of the dark as a little kid, but I'm not now. And I think back to it and I'm like, why was I afraid of the dark? There's nothing out there. But as a kid, my imagination was going crazy about the made up stuff.
Because you don't know not to believe everything yet. Like, for all you know, space and time could collapse as soon as the lights go out and there's gremlins and creatures.
It was crazy. As like a kid, I would watch like the Child's Play Chucky movies, and I would know that it's fake. Like I knew that it's a movie, but in the back of my head, I was like, but what if just this one time it really happens?
You know
what
ruined my fucking life? Candyman. That shit ruined my life. I was so scared of it.
My brother had a, I don't know if you remember this, but there was a little doll called My Doll Buddy, and he was like about 3 feet tall.
Uh-huh.
And he looked and dressed exactly like Chucky, except he had blonde hair instead of red hair.
Wow.
And one of my cousins had it. My older brother borrowed it from my cousin. And in the middle of the night, he set it up at the foot of my bed and just like lightly like caressed my face and like hid. So I woke up and the doll was staring back at me.
Dude, and I would have screamed.
I did. I screamed. I lost it.
I would have fucking screamed.
That's when everything turned for you, yeah, I bet.
That's when I lost all trust in people.
Unexpectedly seeing a naked adult?
Depends on the context. Because I've walked in on people naked and been happy. And I've walked in on people naked and quickly shut the door. So it all depends. But generally, I would say I'm generally not afraid.
Okay.
Generally speaking, I'm not afraid. Like if I left the room and I came back and everyone here was just naked, I'd be real chill about it.
But what about if you were naked?
I'd probably get naked just to fit in.
Okay, cool. Clowns.
Man, another fear as a kid. There was this movie that came out when I was little called Attack of the Killer Clowns.
Yep.
And it's like a total comedy horror movie. But as a kid, it scared the shit out of me.
True. They're
terrifying. I thought clowns were like... Plus, I never went to like a circus, so I didn't have like an interaction with like a real life clown.
Right.
But I always thought like, what if I see a clown? Is it going to be like these clowns or not?
Can I tell you something? Seeing a clown in real life does not soften the blow. If anything, it's even creepier.
Clowns are kind of just like... They low-key evil-looking.
Like, what's wrong with them?
They're
like, why?
Demonic.
Yeah, they are. No, they're menacing. Sleeping alone?
Nah, I actually prefer it, to be honest. I love sleeping alone.
That's nice. Getting caught talking to yourself in the car?
I don't give a fuck. I'm not scared of it.
Little person porn?
I'm not afraid, but I'm not intrigued.
Okay. Germs.
Molly says that she
starts I'm not afraid.
Residual.
But my dad is like a huge germaphobe type dude, always washes his hands and
really?
Shit.
Really?
Yeah,
I feel like that's not so much of our parents' generation. So your dad's kind of like a trailblazer in that way.
Really? Well, shit, he's
his foreign. I mean, Danny
foreign.
Tanner on
that
Full
might
House.
Have to do with it.
Yeah. Saying a new word out loud for the first time?
What'd you say?
Saying a new word out loud for the first time?
No, because I don't really fuck with anybody that would judge me for saying the word wrong.
Right.
So I'm not afraid.
Being the only person in your friend group who doesn't understand the movie you just saw?
I kind of don't like that.
No, why would you?
Because I feel like the whole point of seeing a movie with your friends is to talk about it later.
Yeah.
And if you don't get it, it's like, dog, I just wasted my time. Like, I'm so confused and low-key kind of embarrassed.
Oh, I'd be so embarrassed.
I'm not ashamed because it's not my fault. I did nothing wrong, but I'm a little bit, like, embarrassed. Like, damn, am I missing something?
Yeah.
Maybe I, like, got up to pee during the movie and, like, something crucial happened.
That's my weakness, is I have to stop wearing my ego like that, because that's something that would deflate me. Like, I'd just be like, I'm going to go home. First dates?
Man, I kind of don't fuck with them. Only because I don't really like eating with people I don't know.
Hate it. I hate it.
Right? I hate it so much.
By the way, everyone says like coffee dates now, and it's like, I don't want to drink coffee with a stranger. Like, I legitimately need to get fucked up in order for this to work.
Yeah.
I can't drink. I was
tricked into a coffee date once. This girl asked me to go and get coffee with her, and I thought nothing of it. We were just hanging out. It was when I just met her. And then I was leaving, and another girl I knew saw me there, and she texted me later, like, yo, I saw you on that date earlier. And then I was like, wait, was I on a date for real?
Mm-hmm. You were on a date.
But yeah, no first date eating for me.
Mm-hmm. No, it's embarrassing.
We're going to drink, you know what I mean? Just, because I feel like a bar is just like the lighting's low. It's more prep for like conversation. Food is more about the eating than the socializing for me.
I agree. And I also, when I really boil it down, when I think about it, why it bothers me so much, I think like the act of mastication, like chewing your food, is so fucking animalistic and gross. Yeah. And it's like, I'm not going to show up here and masturbate on our first date either. Yes. So like, let's just keep the animal shit at home. Let's just throw some alcohol in the situation, like two fucking adults, and call it a night.
You also have that thing where, like, you're sensitive to chewing noises. So I think it's more about that than...
I'm not sensitive to chewing noises.
Oh, because it is part of that, like, word.
But I don't have that. I have Kelly Ripa's noise disease. Kelly Ripa has a noise disease that I have. Brad actually has this as well.
What is it?
It's if I hear like certain, like I can't deal with nails, like someone else's nails clicking against each other. Cause I don't like the sound of bone on bone. Like
bone on bone.
I don't like bone on bone.
Yo, my homie Ill Fate is in this room, is looking at us crazy as hell right now.
And that, for some reason, when I hear that noise, it makes me want to like fucking punch someone's face.
It's called misophonia.
Shit, maybe I got it too, because I can't stand the fucking sound of a fork scraping against a plastic table.
That's real.
It drives me nuts.
Yep, that's not fun. Styrofoam. Finding out that you've been suffering from a severe mental illness your entire life.
Hell yeah, I'd be afraid of that, because my life's going to totally change. Like, I can't go back to being ignorant. Now I got to take medicine and I'm trying to fix it. Before, I could just be that cool, different guy. Right. Now I'm a weirdo.
Watching mold grow on nature shows.
Watching mold grow? What?
Yeah, watching mold grow on nature shows.
Yeah, I'm afraid. I don't want to do that. Why?
What you'll see.
I would rather look at a picture of it than watch a fucking video for an hour.
Because sometimes they'll put like a time lapse of mold growing.
Who cares?
That grosses me out. Watching how fast mold grows.
Yeah.
Taking over the whole jungle.
I don't like mold. I hate it when I put out food and there's mold on it. Why would I want to see it develop?
No, nothing. What you'll see when you look in the mirror.
Nah, I always like that.
Lena Dunham success.
It's okay.
I just realized, did you mean moss or do you mean mold when you asked that question?
No, like any sort of sporous anything. I want to see it grow. Dancing in public?
Nah, I'm all the way with it. I ain't afraid at all.
Singing in public?
Not at all. What? It's what I do.
It's just one of the questions, my friend. Missing out on events or parties?
If it's something that I've never experienced before, yes.
Having to go to events or parties?
Yes.
That you're a fraud?
No, because I'm real as it can get, you dig?
That no one would ever romantically love you if your face got burned off with acid?
I'm not afraid of that because I got so much game that someone fall in love with me.
No I love what. That answer. Mispronouncing someone's name every time you see them and never being corrected.
Yes, and I've done that. I mispronounced this girl's name for like a whole year.
What was
and
it?
And nobody, I don't even want to mention it.
I know, I'm feeling residual embarrassment for you.
I mispronounced her name for like a year straight. So much so that like folks would ask me her name and I would be the one like, no, you're saying it wrong. So multiple people started calling her what I thought it was. And then she was just finally like, yo, that's not my fucking name.
Oh,
like,
you know
shit.
What? It took her a year to correct you.
True.
You know what I mean?
Was,
like, that's
she was
on
playing
you.
Along
that's on
the
her.
Whole time.
Right.
Yeah, that's on
her. spending a week in Times Square.
Hell yeah, I'm afraid of that. I hate going to Times Square.
Contracting an STD.
Yes, I'm afraid of that. I don't want an STD. It sucks.
Blindly reaching into a bag of jelly beans and putting one in your mouth without looking at it.
I'm definitely afraid of that. I don't even like jelly beans.
Going through TSA.
If I'm hella late for my flight, which is more often than not, then I'm absolutely afraid of it.
You got to get to the airport early, Tony. We're going to talk about this for you.
I usually do, but every 3 months, there's this one flight where I'm barely making it, where I miss my alarm or something. It always happens.
Now, how are you getting in your Hudson News time if you're going to the airport late? You're not getting any magazines, snacks?
I'm trying to skip all that. I'm like rushing straight from TSA straight to boarding the plane, which I've done mad times.
Needles?
Yeah, I ain't really afraid of them. I've like had so many needles in me in this medical age that it's whatever.
What's in tap water?
Yeah, because sometimes it just leaves a really gross feeling in your throat. And I hate it when my throat feels funny.
Spending a month or more with your family and only your family.
Ooh. If I would have been more afraid of it when I was younger and it was more boring, but now that I'm older, I'm kind of like cherishing the moment for the most part. But I would still need breaks. Like, let me step outside and like smoke a joint or something. Just, you know, get my mind right. Because too much family can just like, man.
I find that weed is very important when I spend a lot of
weed
time with my
family.
Family
goes hand in hand.
I have to say, Shauna and I started smoking. My mom and I started smoking together last time she was out here, and it's a righteous new level of our relationship.
Wait,
my friend.
Like, did you enjoy that time together? Was it weird? Did you like doing that with your
mom? Well, I was sad as fuck because I had just gone through a breakup. So I was just like loving. I just got my weed card like 3 days earlier and was like loving life. Like I was at the dispensary like 3 times a day. Like what else you got?
Yes.
Sunday
what was
night.
Was your mom like high?
The same. Yeah. Like I realized that as soon as I started smoking pot, I was like, oh, my mom's a fucking stoner.
Oh,
that's
like
why she's like that.
This so is... you had never realized that your mom smoked weed?
No, she'd lie. I mean, God bless, but yeah. She did what you do and you don't tell your kids you did drugs.
Yes.
And so I didn't. Yeah.
So how'd you figure out like how?
Because I was like, the way that I am now when I am stoned makes me feel like I'm dealing with my mother. And that, because my mom has kind of like a stonery, like,
wow.
Shauna's like a woman of nature. Like, Shauna's an artist. Like, she's got walking sticks, but she's also like Boston, like fucking tough ass. Like,
I wish your
she's
mom
hot
was
as
here
hell.
Right now.
But
I
want to
meet her.
Shauna's great. She's great.
I
want to
meet her.
November,
hey, mom,
she'll be at.
Molly's mom, holler at your boy, wherever you are.
No, she will actually holler at your boy, and you don't even know. Like, you know, Shauna's going to be texting you all the time.
Hey, 832-282.
Sunday nights.
Sunday nights?
Yeah.
Nah, they're cool.
That you have bad body odor or breath and no one knows how to tell you.
Man, no, but back in the day, as a teenager especially, I was concerned. Because in high school, every day during lunch, we'd usually play basketball.
Right.
And then we'd go to class, and I'd always be like, damn, do we fucking stink right now? Like, you know, girls are around. We're just getting in, like, the groove of them.
Yeah.
It had
puberty's
me shook.
Embarrassing.
Had me a little shook. Can't even lie.
Commitment?
Depends on what I'm committing to.
Becoming homeless?
I definitely don't want that to happen. So, yes, I'm afraid of it.
Change?
Nah. Change gonna come.
Falling in love with a stripper or sex worker?
Hell yeah, because, you know, I rock with all people and I respect all people. But in my experience, strippers tend to be alcoholics.
There goes your credit score.
Chicks that do porn tend to be into.
I love that. I love that you just said strippers are alcoholics. That's news to me. And by the way, it makes total sense.
Dude, like not even to like shame that. And I'm speaking generally. I'm being very general. There's always exceptions. But in my experience as a 27-year-old man, strippers and girls in porn that I've met tend to not really work in committed relationships.
Yeah. I guess I would say I have the personality of a stripper then. That makes sense.
you do have a wine Bible.
That's
here.
Nine.
That's this drunks. Vomiting. Vomiting.
Yeah, I hate vomiting, man. I hate it, man. When I was younger, like in my early 20s, I would drink and fucking throw up every couple months at least.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember I was late for a plane, and I was so hungover when I got into the plane, like the baggage check area, I fucking threw up all over my shoes right in front of this family. And I was so embarrassed, like, oh, I'm a piece of shit right now.
That's the worst.
So, yes, I hate throwing up. I don't really throw up much now. But if I had to, I'd be very upset. It makes your mouth stink. You just feel funny. Oh, actually, you feel better after
I like
throw
it
up sometimes. Yeah. To be honest. Like, if I got to throw up, I would
rather
do
that.
Because
you're not, like, writhing in nausea anymore.
Yeah. Get it out.
Bugs.
Nah, bugs are cool. They're kind of like us.
Being fisted?
Yeah, I don't want to be fucking fisted. What? Where?
Is there a right answer? Unusually good-looking people?
No, I like them.
The dentist?
Nah, man, I actually got a cool-ass dentist back home, back in Houston. He's like a young black dude. He's fucking cool as hell.
What's his name?
I don't remember.
Okay.
But I mean, I only see him like every 6 months. But every time I do see him, he's mad cool.
I understand. Those two things are not mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
Death.
Yeah, because I'm afraid of being in deep space.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't want to die.
I like the way your mind works. Knowing what your hot dog's made of.
Yeah, I don't even eat a hot dog.
Crying in public.
Man, I don't think I've cried like a funeral. But you know what? Since I've never done it, I'm not afraid. So I would like to do it in like maybe a club or something and just see what people do.
We can arrange that.
It might be cool, actually. Folks might be with it and just have a mass crying session.
I think that you do. I think that people would like that, especially if it wasn't something that came out a lot. I think if once every 3 years you cried in the club, people would like that.
What if I cried on stage and made the entire audience cry?
I think that's beautiful.
That would be an amazing
You know who
moment.
Did that? Who? R. Kelly at Bonnaroo.
Did he
I
really?
Fucking wept. Well, no, because I was on a lot of drugs too, but it was very, very,
drugs
very beautiful.
Cry,
it was,
sure.
There was a security guard crying to keep it on the down low so hard.
Wow.
He was sobbing, like full body sob. And like, I felt, it was really emotional too, because a lot of the Bonnaroo security guards are Hurricane Katrina victims that like come out and work. They get recruited to work for Bonnaroo for the weekend in Tennessee. So like this guy like probably has nothing. He's keeping it on the down low. He's fucking sobbing, probably like dealing with drunk girls all day. It just was the most emotional thing I've ever seen. And then he let 50 doves out over the crowd.
That's beautiful. There's an R. Kelly song called I Wish that made me cry recently.
Oh, yeah.
And it reminded me of my grandma.
That is a good song. You know, I do like R. Kelly, which is sad. He's you know, I have a problem with all the other rapists.
He's a great artist, but he's a bad person.
Yeah.
And for me, I can separate the two usually.
Being with a man or woman who's crying in public? Oh, no. Being with a woman who's crying in public.
I hate it every time. I don't like it.
Breakfast, right?
Would it be worse if it was a man crying in public with you?
Nah, because then it's probably like the close homie and it's you know, it's like we're like cool. But I think a girl could like cry and not even know you that well. But if your homie or a man's gonna be crying in public with you, y'all are probably very close in some aspects.
It's very true. Being arrested for a murder you didn't commit?
Hell yeah. I personally really get annoyed when I'm accused of doing shit that I didn't do. And I've been frustrated by it my entire life. Every time I get accused of something that I didn't do, it pisses me off completely. And I can accept stuff when I am wrong and just admit to it. But if I know that I'm totally clear and I'm innocent, it fucking aggravates me.
Yeah, well,
I know there's been tons of people that have had that happen and have died over it, have been in jail over it, have been shunned for it, and I don't fucking stand for that shit.
Yeah. Heights.
Hugs?
Heights.
Heights, yeah, kind of, yeah.
The idea the idea that your worst enemy might be right about you?
No. Because he's fucking wrong. What?
Birds.
Birds?
Yeah.
Nah, birds are cool. Birds are pretty for the most part.
I agree. All right, so that was Do You Fear That? Now we're going to take our calls. Are you ready to take our calls?
Hell yeah.
I think we have some good ones for you. Let's do this.
Hey, Malls. It's Nakia. I'm totally calling because I hear you have Fat Tony on. And my whole life, I've just totally fantasized about being with this rapper. Like, when I'm alone, it's my biggest thing. It's all I can think about. So I'm totally wondering, Fat Tony, you could advise me on, like, how to get with a rapper without seeming too thirsty, even though I'm totally dehydrated in that department, if you know what I'm saying. So thanks. I'd love for you to answer my question. Yeah.
All right, yo, so it's mad simple, man. Lots of rappers are single and they're looking for chicks, especially chicks that are into them because they're rappers. Now, keep in mind, if you're going into it with that perspective, you need to be looking for something casual. Like, don't go into it off the bat like you're trying to hop in a relationship with this rap dude. But if you just want to hang out, have a one-night stand, just have some fun shit, or even build a little more than friends type of relationship, friends with benefits style shit, it's mad easy. Show up to the dude's show, fucking praise him, holler at him, and he'll probably choose you if he's into you. It's mad simple. It's easier than you think. Like, I think even you could go to rapper's concert while he's on stage, slide him your phone, and chances are he'll put his number in it, and you're ready to go.
Okay.
Don't stress.
But here's my cue. Like, do you really want to get with someone because of their job title? Because I will tell you, it's that thing that we were talking about, how girls take no time to, like, start crying over some shit. Mm-hmm. It's when a guy has anything going for him at all, that's when a girl's brain goes fucking nuts.
Word up.
Like, when it's like, oh, shit, like, we're, like, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to like his parents. And, like, how are we going to get married if I don't like his parents? And, like, what is, you know, is he going to convert? Like, people go to crazy-ass places, right, the first time you, like, think you might have a chance of sleeping with someone. So do you really want to – maybe this girl might not want to unlock Pandora's box, is all I'm saying.
I mean, she might, though. Like, I think the common thing here isn't just people want to date somebody for their job title or just hook up with somebody for their job title. It's really based on their success. I don't think this young lady just wants to fuck any rapper. I think she wants to fuck a rapper that's at least popping. You know what I mean?
Right, like Drake.
Yeah, Drake, or even, you know, somebody, just like somebody that has something going on.
She's a little bit into you, dude.
Even someone like me, someone of my status. You know, yeah. I play spots like the Echo and the Bootleg Theater. Rappers that play those
like
spots
that
are pretty ill, too.
Yeah.
Not just the ones at Staples Center. But I think
you know
there's
why?
Such a wide variety.
Because your shows are intimate.
You know
My shows are intimate.
I assume
I'm all about intimacy.
If you're at Staples Center, your dick's dirty. Like, if you made it all the way to Staples Center, your dick is dirty as hell. Like, I can't fuck with that. All the way to the Staples Center, and you don't have gonorrhea. Okay.
Wow.
Like, you don't even get tested anymore if you're at the Staples Center.
What
this
rappers
is a
have you fucked?
I'm a catch-all. That's what that is. They're like, I'll just take whatever because there's nothing money can't fix.
So if they make it to the Hollywood Bowl, their dick has completely fallen off.
Yes. It might
I
as
totally
well. Totally
disagree.
You don't touch it.
I think the more popping you get, the less you fuck around with just any thirsty ass little chick. You know what I mean? You're more selective.
A lot of vagina on the way up.
But still, on that way up, it's more quality than quantity. And I think it's the reverse that leaves you with a dirty dick. You know what I mean? So chances are, if you're playing a Staples Center and you're making money, you're probably really mindful of who you're gonna fuck.
Right. And you've definitely gotten an STD test in the last couple months.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you have the money to get checked out by a doctor.
You need to stay alive and healthy and keep making money.
You got to get that pap, dude. Get the Q-tip shoved up that dick.
Man,
I can't believe that's what they fucking do to dudes.
Whatever
that's
it takes.
That's violent. I mean, what they do to chicks is pretty bad, too. But a Q-tip in the dick? That's so rude.
Hey, man. Hey, whatever it takes.
And I don't know that that's supposed to work like that. It's just a medical miracle. I don't know. I mean, wow. It's really like, that's always been a lot for me to process. All right. Well, I think we've done Makaya here.
Much love to you, man. And I hope you fuck a rapper really soon.
Yeah. All right. Bye, girl.
Hi, my name is Jillian. I'm calling for some advice. I don't have enough money. I got fired from my job probably about 3 weeks ago, out of nowhere. And I'm just starting a new job. And they're only paying me hourly. And I'm so used to getting tips that I just don't know what to do. So if you could let me know what I should do, that'd be great. Thank you.
Well, I don't know, Jillian. You actually legally can never lose your job for no reason. True. So there's actually, you did lose your job for a reason.
Very true.
So there's that, Jillian. You can't supplement your income. Get a new fucking job. Pretty simple. I mean, everyone has to work, man. And some jobs pay some amounts and some jobs pay some others' amounts.
Yeah, man. Life is an economic roller coaster. Sometimes you might make very little money. Sometimes you might make a lot of money.
Yeah.
Don't trip too much about this pay cut. Just add a little side hustle to make up for the money that you're missing. Like drive Uber or something on like the side of your new shitty job.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's a good way to compensate.
When I got a two-door, when I got my Mini Cooper, I was so fucking pissed at myself after. Because I was like, now I can never drive an Uber. I mean, I guess if I want, I could rent a Toyota Corolla for a month and write the great American novel about driving a Toyota Corolla around Los Angeles.
Fuck that. You got to own a badass car if you want to be a successful Uber. You can't just rent one.
Dude, I have to say, I treated myself to an Uber Plus last night.
How was it?
It was a Lexus, and it was real nice.
That's what I'm talking about.
I was Friday. I felt like, you know what? It's Friday.
You deserve
it. My man's out of town. I'm going out with a girl. I want to ride in a Lexus. I think I deserve to drive in a Lexus.
If your
tonight.
Man is out of town, you better pull up in a Lexus every time I see you.
Pro tip.
All right. What do you think about this girl? I think she's a loser.
I think I'm really curious about why she got fired from her job. I think she probably fucked up.
But she did bounce back at a new job in 3 weeks, so that's pretty good.
Do you think she like fucked the manager? Oh, dude, she fucked the manager. She totally did. That's why, because she's like, for no reason.
Jillian also said that she used to make tips. What was her last job? Was she
a
stripper?
No. But I mean,
they make tips too.
She could be a fucking alcoholic stripper. We've learned this.
Wow, Jillian,
I
wish you were alive right now so I could find out if you're an alcoholic stripper or not.
What did you do before you started rapping to make money?
I've had a string of jobs. My very first job was at Abercrombie.
Oh, I love
that. Were you shirtless in front or not?
I was in the back. And it was lit. And my next job was like a little shitty coffee place. And then from there on, it was like another little shitty food place. But Abercrombie was my first job. And it was kind of live because I was with my girlfriend at the time. I walked into Abercrombie to say what's up to a friend getting off work. And I'm leaving, and he's like, oh, by the way, do you still need a job? And I was like, yeah, I've never had one. He turns to his manager and is like, yo, can you hire him? She's like, come in the next morning. So I never applied. It's my first job ever. It's totally lax. I'm like thinking I got to work really hard, like show up on time, and it's a big deal. I start showing up. It's totally BS. Like, they're playing music in the back. People are like taking breaks, smoking weed. Kids are coming hella late. The managers are like 20 years old. It's a total joke.
I was going to say, okay, I thought this was going to go somewhere else when you said your girlfriend was there. But because my mind immediately went to, you work at Abercrombie, you're fucking on those jeans in the back.
No, but I did make out with a girl in the back of Abercrombie that worked there. And it was lit.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. So I
round second, like, did you go, or it was just
dude? I actually met. Then I met three girls from my first Abercrombie job that were all tight. They were all fucking tight.
I love that. Yeah. So I think in the spirit of a young Tony, Jillian might have fucked some people, or like, you know, made out with someone in the back of the work and got fired. That's what I think happened. I'm
keep
a little
fucking,
stoned. I'm sorry.
Keep fucking and get your money, Jillian.
You guys, I'm sorry. Next call.
Hi, Molly. Something that's been bothering me is there's a guy, I don't know if you've heard of him, his name is Donald Trump, and he's leading in the polls. So I was trying to figure out, what am I going to do to my kid when he takes over and it's the apocalypse? Like, should I just, I don't know, send them away somewhere, or how are we going to make it when Trump's here and we're all slaves again? Thanks.
So this is so delicious because it's also like my favorite subject. I love any sort of like figuring out my apocalypse scenario. Yes. And I'm always in a really difficult situation for this because I have a dog.
Yeah.
And in a situation like that, I believe two things. If you don't have a gun, you're waiting to get shot. And anything like that is just extra baggage. I love Wags, but realistically, the journey for him is going to be very difficult. So this faces me with a really painful decision. Do I try to bring him with me for as long as I can, knowing that inevitably he's not going to be able to survive in this post-apocalyptic world? I mean, if I can't survive, I definitely would like to think of him running around, but he's going to get killed. So do I snap his neck?
Which is sadder for you? Losing the dog immediately or waiting to watch the dog starve and just die next to you?
So this is what I say, Tony. I agree with you. But the idea of snapping my dog's neck or whatever it is I have to do is really painful for me.
That's pretty gruesome.
And when you say to someone, I guess I would just have to kill. I mean, what do you do with your baby? What do you do with your little kid if they can't take care of themselves? They're the future of the world.
Dude, this is so dark and fucked up. And it made me really sad. But I had a roommate once that killed his own dog because he couldn't take care of the dog.
Oh, my God. That's insane. The worst thing I've ever heard.
It was
heard.
So insane.
Why
and
didn't
dark
just
and
put
creepy
it in
out.
That?
I know, dude. It was fucking crazy.
Oh, my God. Where is he now?
I found this out like maybe 2 weeks before I moved out. And when I heard that, I was like, all right, I'm really out of here.
This
was here in L.A., very bizarre.
What kind of dog was it?
I don't remember, but it was like a fucking puppy. It was fucked up.
Oh, that
it was
is
fucked up.
Not okay. That's
it was,
not
it was
cool.
So not okay. I damn near want to call the cops. Like, yo.
No,
that's
that
a
is,
murderer. That's like gotta be illegal,
right? It is a crime.
Right?
Yeah, it is a crime. Jesus.
Fucking crazy.
No, that is crazy. Because by the way, it's not because he can't take care of it.
Sound like something Donald Trump would do, though.
Because anyone... Yeah, I know. So what do you think about this? This
Donald Trump? He's a joke.
He's an idiot.
A fucking joke, like most Americans.
He's leading in the polls because the people coming out right now are voting to vote for jokes. Like,
yeah, and he's speaking to people's mind. All that fucking fucked up white supremacist shit that he spews, that's how a lot of Americans feel. And
right.
That's the fucking truth.
Here's the thing. His tagline is like, make America great again. And it's like, okay, what time period specifically is he talking about that it
probably
was great?
Slavery.
Right.
You know? Maybe the Reconstruction period.
I love how people, and it tends to be people on the right side, you know.
Like the Clinton era maybe he's talking about.
I mean, I guess so, but I never want to go back. Like I always throw out this hypothetical to people when I'm trying to make conversation because I'm very awkward.
Mm-hmm.
But I always ask, if you had to be sent backwards or forward in time and you can't come back to the present, where would you go? Would you rather go in the future and get stuck there? Or would you go somewhere in the past? And if you would go in the past, where in the past would you go?
Good question. One hand, I would say let's go back to the past because we know what's going to happen and maybe we can cash in and live like kings and queens.
Mm, back to the future.
But as far as I know, every bit of the past has been pretty fucked up.
Yeah, and
the
even if
future,
you didn't have that preemptive knowledge as a black man, you could only go so far.
Yeah, and even then, it just gets worse and worse.
Yeah.
But who is to say the future is going to be better?
That's
either.
The thing.
At least if I went back in the past, I would know what I'm dealing with. So I might go back to like, you know, I might go back to like the 90s or something where like rappers made hella money and I'd just be really good and make hella money and just live like a famous 90s rapper and hang out with like Tupac. That'd be cool.
That'd be really cool. Yeah, I think ever since Sunny told me about that super artificial intelligence shit, I've been on one. So I like would never go to the future. I'm not interested. Actually, I really have no interest.
What time in the past would you go?
I have an old soul. I would probably go to like, I definitely wouldn't do America. I'll tell you that much. Europe
that.
Somewhere, old as hell. I don't know, but like not too old. I mean, I want lights and stuff. Not like pre-language and time, as we've been speaking about lately.
But what's the best time in the past? Like, can we all agree on any one time period that was the best time?
No, because to me, everything is still evolving. People are still getting basic civil rights. You know what I mean?
I mean, so, I think New York in the 70s would be like sexy and fun.
It'd be pretty lit. I would go to fucking 1980 New York City and turn all the way up.
I think about New York in the 70s
so much cocaine and nighttime stuff. Just like fun stuff. Dude, everyone's fucking. There's no AIDS. Like everyone's doing it.
Any like any STD you had could be cured with like penicillin.
And yeah, everyone just like eats coke all the time. Like, and so you're so skinny and your fashions are amazing. I would go like 1974 New York.
I would go with you.
Yeah. All right. I'll see you there, dude. All right. Let's take our next call.
Let's all trip on a Donna Summer track back in Studio 54 together.
I would love that. Okay. So we got a letter. It's long as fuck. You guys need to really start. This is from Elise. Elise, get your shit together.
I gotta say, like, a lot of times people will use the letter as a way because they kept getting cut off by the voicemail. And it's like, the voicemail.
Take
like,
a hint, bitch.
You have, exactly. Like, the voicemail gives you about 3 minutes to tell a story. Like, I can recount all of World War II in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So if you can't tell your drama in 3 minutes, like, get it together.
Absolutely. Seriously. No, for real. I wish everyone knew that they are not more interesting than 30 words can say. You are not. Like, anything more than that is just masturbatory and needs to get out of your head.
That being said, we love your letters. Please send them to askpleaseadvice@gmail.com.
State your fucking problem. All right, here's a letter. Hey, guys. I love your show and listen to it all the time. I wonder if you could help me figure out some of my issues. I'm 24 years old. I've been living with my boyfriend for 5 years. She got into the relationship quickly, straight out of another long-term relationship she had in high school. It's been a pretty rough relationship. They've had good moments, but it's more bad than good. Mm. He gets really angry easily, constantly puts her down. He ignores her. He has weird ideas and logic about everything. He's controlling, gets jealous. Seems like he has no ambition. He's been working the same dead-end job for years. But he has a good degree and he doesn't support her achievements. It's almost like he resents her for being more successful in his career and her career than him. Sure. He doesn't like her family. He's made it hard to keep her friends because he has only bad things to say about them when she talks about them, even if he's never met them before. He doesn't help her out cleaning. He's constantly accusing her of lying and saying, she's lying about money and where she's been and that she's never – and she says, I've never given him a reason not to trust me and I've always been loyal. So he's a psychopath. Okay. So you're dating a psychopath.
I got to hear both sides of the story.
I know. So she says, this is just a small part of how things are with us and I don't know if all the good times are worth all of this. I almost feel like I'm being brainwashed because every time he says something mean to me and I get upset about it, he turns the whole argument on me and turns me into the villain somehow, even though I am just reacting to him being mean to me. I try to talk things out with him, but every time I bring up any hint of something that something is his fault, he won't listen. He just gets angry. It seems like the only way to end an argument with him is to just break down and agree with him. Ooh, girl. Sorry, this is so long. I guess my question is, what the hell is wrong with me and that I can't leave this guy? I know in my head that this is not okay. I've never really been single, and sometimes it's very appealing to me now that I'm older, but I guess I'm scared of the unknown, and I don't want to have – and she doesn't want to hurt him. Okay, cool. So, been there. Look, this is my relationship journey as well. People are always shocked by this, but when I get into a long-term relationship, I'm – like so ride or die that my head like exists completely up my ass and I have no idea how I'm being treated. Like you could literally be like stabbing me with a knife and be like, no girl, I'm not stabbing you. And I'd be like, oh, okay. Cause it felt like it, but I'm sorry. So, and yeah, I'm sorry. I questioned your character. Like that is my relationship journey. And I'll tell you why we do that. It's because we're adult children of alcoholics, honey. You are a codependent person. It's okay. Go to an Al-Anon meeting. You have codependency issues. That's fine.
Dude,
Tony, what do you
like,
think?
Sounds like this is a common problem that people have. People get into these serious relationships really young before they even get to know themselves. And they feel trapped because there is a codependency issue. And it's kind of hard to break it because breaking it is going into the unknown. But I think if you're a young person, and that means anybody under 25 especially, and have been in a serious relationship and never had a chance to just be an adult and just explore and just learn who you are, you need that for yourself to be sane.
I always agree. I'm like, anytime someone writes in saying like, I'm 23 and I don't know how I feel about my boyfriend, I'm like, just break up with them because y'all are going to break up. Like, very few people stay with the person they got with when they were 19.
And when you're feeling all that, like, you'd be lying to yourself to not go into that. Like, if you're going to write us this long-ass letter and you're going to tell us about all these bad things that your boyfriend does or the bad things that he makes you feel, then it's clear where you stand. There is definitely not a lot of good going on, because if it was good, you wouldn't even write us.
Here's the thing. You do have to take responsibility for your feelings. You are saying, like, you do choose.
Yeah.
I have to say, when she's like, these are not small things, I'm like, oh, it sounds like the entire temperature of your life is dictated by this guy. And you're saying that that's just a small thing.
Yeah.
That is everything. Your quality of life, your ability to breathe is everything. You don't have that right now. You're just cheating yourself. But I also know what it's like to not be able to, like, quit a person.
And also, there's a lot of people out there that, like, manipulate people emotionally and kind of make them attached, you know? Like, this guy doing the back and forth of shitting on her and then making up for it, that's just, like, a roller coaster of, like, emotions that kind of makes it hard for anybody to think clearly, man or woman.
Yeah. I completely agree. And I think that also the way that he sounds so controlling like that, that sounds like it's coming completely from a place of insecurity. Like,
yeah,
he needs
totally.
To keep his thumb on her because, because God forbid, he probably knows she's awesome and that he's troubled. Like, that's often when that dynamic comes up. I mean, you feel like you're being brainwashed. Actually, yeah, that's called gaslighting. Like, that's a real thing. You look that up. Gaslighting. It's based on a movie called Gaslight, where a guy convinces a woman that she's not fucking crazy.
Really?
And
it's like very manipulative. Like, it's amazing how manipulative people can be, like, to other human beings, to the point where they drive each other insane.
Yeah.
And a lot of times people write into the show or they call into the show already knowing the answer, but just hearing someone else say it kind of validates whatever internal feelings they have.
Absolutely.
So it's like obvious to us that she should dump this guy because, like, 80% of that letter is like how horrible he is to her.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, chances are they're both going through the same thing. This guy might be being a dick because he has the frustrations of, yo, I've never been single. I'm, like, starting to grow up. Like, you know, he's like feeling the pressure of,
damn, he's in a job that
should I be out there on my own? But I'm kind of scared of it. And for some people, that turns into anger, into stressing people out, into putting off all that frustration onto someone else.
Right. I fucking dumped my high school boyfriend or my college boyfriend because he wasn't ambitious. He followed me out here. And I was just like, you're fucking, like, the worst. Like, you couldn't
sense.
Even get a job at FedEx because he, like, couldn't pass his piss test. And I was like, you're a fucking loser. Like, we went to Boston College. Like, you need to get your shit together. And he was also just terrible.
People gotta grow with each other. Like, if you're going in this one direction, your partner needs to be doing something too. Like, if I have a great job and you're a fucking bum, that's not balanced.
If two people aren't growing,
somebody is, like, depleting the next person, you know? It's not fair.
You can't have a relationship where one person's actively working on themselves and the other person's not. But I will tell you that after I dumped this guy several years later, he did join a pyramid scheme that I think is ruining his life, but he very much does not feel that way. And he wanted to thank me for pushing him because he said he never would have come to LA if it wasn't for me. And he never would have figured out his job. But he also spent $100,000 following Tony Robbins around the country. So he's crazy.
Who's Tony Robbins?
He's like a motivational speaker.
Okay. Got you. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. It all has a weird Christian slant.
Oh, man.
Hey, Walls. Don't want to tell you my name or my age or my location. Well, I'll tell you I'm 24. Just because this is, like, a really specific story. I'm scared somehow someone will be able to, like, I don't know, figure out that it's me. Anyways, I casually dated this guy for about 3 months. We were both kind of out of long-term relationships and both said, like, we didn't want anything serious. I'm living in a new city. Kind of the first person I really met since being here, first person since my last relationship. Anyways, 3 months into the relationship, I got pregnant. And it was about 2 weeks of us just, like, freaking out. Decided that I wanted to keep it. And he told me he wanted to be supportive of me. And we bickered some, but all in all, he handled it like a man. Anyways, a couple weeks later, I found out I had a miscarriage. And I was relieved. I didn't really know how to feel about it, but I was still kind of sad in a weird way. anyways, after that happened, he pretty much said that, like, he doesn't want anything to do with me because every time he looks at me, he sees that situation and he can't handle thinking about it. So initially I was like, good, that's fine, we weren't serious, whatever, you know, it was just this horrible thing that happened. But he said he wanted to be friends down the line. Anyways, it's been about a month now, and I'm trying not to cry, but I don't know why I'm still so, like, I miss him so bad, and I didn't even really think that I liked him that much, and I just am so, like, mourning this whole situation. One of my friends told me I should see a therapist, but I think I have a pretty healthy grasp on everything. I'm just missing him a lot. It's not really affecting my daily life or anything, but it's just, I don't know. What do I do in this situation? I blocked his number and I delete him from Facebook, not because he's contacting me, but just so I don't, like, sit around wishing that he would. But I don't really know how to get over some, like, I've had to get over guys a million times in my life, but I don't know how to get over someone that you went through something like this so emotional with and you got to be so close with so quickly because of the situation. Like, how do I get over it? It seems like we were dating for years because of the situation. Oh, and here's something about the story, Maul, I should have. I am a bad drunk texter just anyways, but I've been, like, crazy drunk texting him over the past 2 weekends. Either I text him and tell him that I'm, like, love him, which I don't, but that I, like, you know, want to see him, or that I hate him and he's just a garbage punk. But, like, so, yeah. I mean, he's been nice about it, but I don't know. Anyways, so how do I get over it? How do I move on from this bizarre situation? Thank you.
Well, this is sensitive because I don't think we can say that her miscarriage was in any way, well, like, what was supposed to happen. But yeah, it does unfortunately seem like it was a good thing that you're not having a child with this person.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like, I actually have always wondered how a couple comes back from that. I've always wondered that. And there was a couple in college that I remember did manage to make it work, but that really fascinated me because I was like, I don't know if I'd be able to look at, like, a guy who got me pregnant and neither had to have an – I mean, we would have had to have had an abortion. I was no way going to have a baby in college.
Yeah, for sure.
And that – man, I don't know. What do you think?
Man, I think it's tough because I think the main thing drawing her back to this guy isn't that she loves him. I don't think it's a romantic thing. I think that she's very young and just had a traumatic experience that a lot of women don't go through. And she needs closure.
Actually, a lot of women do go. Miscarriages are so fucking common. That's one thing I found out. Like, that no one talks about it because it's a shameful issue.
It seems like it doesn't happen often.
It's a shame-based issue for a lot of people, but a lot of people don't talk about it because, one, people don't announce their pregnancies often before the third month.
Yeah.
But two, I think that a lot of people don't want to further jinx pregnancies or feel it's very vulnerable about it. But,
Well, just in general, I think that she's gone through something that's very hard for anybody to go through. And she may need some closure in that department. And initially, the guy was kind of leading her to believe that he was down with it. Things might be different if off the rip, his attitude was, I don't want any part of this. But I think it's the intenseness of the situation. Plus, this guy saying that he's down to work with you through this difficult time and then suddenly dropping out after a traumatic thing happens to you. That's just one big world of shit.
But do guys really feel like they have a... Like, I find that most of the guys I know anyway probably would... They always just default to the woman in that sort of scenario and wouldn't even be vocal. I wonder how much of a choice sometimes a guy like that would feel he has, because if he was like, no, I think you should get an abortion, like, that guys who say things like that, that winds up getting blurted out to the kids sometime when they're when the mom's drunk and angry, you know? Like, your dad told me to abort you. That's the guys don't say that shit. I actually really feel guys usually are pretty, like, try to be cool about it,
which
even if they're not.
Which is what this guy probably tried to do, you know? Even for him, this is a big shock for, like, everybody. Like, he's just hanging out with this girl, hooking up with her for, like, a couple months. Suddenly she's pregnant and she wants to keep it and they're very young. You know, that's a lot of pressure. And I can see why he would step up and say, yo, I'm going to be a part of this and I'm going to help. And I can also see why he's dodging her now, because he probably feels like, yo, I dodged a bullet or something. Not to say that he's doing the right thing, but I can see where he's coming from. But my best advice
for he's definitely being a coward.
Yeah, my best advice for her, though, is that, you know, maybe she, like, mentioned going to, you know, see a doctor, see, like, a, you know, therapist about it.
Right.
And I think that that's good. You know, I was a psychology student at one point, and I can see therapy as being a helpful thing, especially in a situation like this where she doesn't really have a lot of people to talk to. Even having some kind of outlet to express herself would make her feel better than just holding this all in and just letting it out in, like, some drunk texts.
I think that if you wonder if you should go to therapy, you should go to therapy. Yeah. And also, like, the way that she's saying, I'm not sad about the miscarriage. I'm sad about him. Well, no, you're sad about him because of something very directly related to the miscarriage.
Absolutely.
And the whole pregnancy thing. So you actually are upset about that, which is understandable and okay. And you definitely should talk to someone about that, because I think the drunk texts are really hurting you.
Yeah, those are not good.
He's definitely probably a little relieved in some way when he sees, because he's probably freaked out. Like, a girl that he knows he had a very scary thing happen with is going nuts on him on text when she's drunk. It's also a very 24-year-old thing to do. I think I would drunk text guys that I was mad at when I was 24. I don't do that now, but I think that you'd need to talk to someone and stop the drunk text. And I know that's hard too. Like, you should, there's things you can download. There's, like, apps you can do. You should block them in your phone. That's what you should do.
Yeah, I think that it's a good thing that she's tried to remove him out of her life, especially since she's making a point that he doesn't want to be in her life. Don't even have that outlet to reach him. There's no reason to reach him at this point, because he's made it clear that he doesn't want part of this. And it's no way you're going to talk somebody into caring when they've made it clear that they don't care.
And by the way, that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you.
At all.
Because he chose not to get, like, that doesn't, that's not a statement about you. That's a statement about him. So it's, and that's okay. Whatever it is. And by the way, everyone fucks up. I bet in, like, 10 years, when you're, like, 34 and wherever you're at in your life, you will look back and be like, oh, I totally get why that, A, that was scary for everyone, and B, like, why, like, I acted that way, and I understand why. You probably will have dealt with it. My understanding is that something like a pregnancy and a miscarriage is, like, an emotional journey. Like, that's its own story. And, like, it's going to continue to play out over a really long period of time. The way you feel about it, it's like a death. Like, over a long period of time, you just start to feel differently about it. All right. Thanks for calling. All right, guys, that was episode 58 of Please Advise. Tony, thank you so much for being here. Where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Fat Tony Rap. That's FatTonyRap. It's the same everywhere. Twitter, IG, Facebook, Pornhub, wherever you're at socially.
Where are you going to be if people want to come see you in the next couple of weeks?
I'm going to actually play a show in LA tomorrow, September 6th. It's a Sunday. I don't know if you'll know about it. But
this won't be on for 3 weeks.
In the next couple weeks, you can catch me back in Texas playing shows. I'm playing Austin, Texas on September 11th. It's a Friday. I'm playing Houston the next day, Saturday, September 12th at the Untapped Festival. Playing San Antonio on September 19th. And that's it for September.
That's a really good September.
So holler at me.
We have like Texas, I think, is like our fifth most listening state, right? Love Texas.
Like you guys.
Go Texas.
I love Texas.
We like y'all. We love y'all.
You lived in Houston too. That's I for forgot like month, we yeah. both lived in Texas for like a month. Yeah. I'm moving. That's why I loved like HEB. Property.
Really? You better
yes.
hurry up.
I'm not having kids expensive. Here. You're gonna turn out retarded. All right. Well, thanks so much for coming. And I'm a little stoned. I'm sorry. I don't know how to close this properly.
smoke weed every day. Yeah, RIP
neighborhood. Oh, our plugs. The thing that I do every week. You guys, send us your updates and call us at 323-450-7408. Email us at askpleaseadvise@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, SoundCloud.com/pleaseadvise. That's where we get money. So y'all should listen to that. But also subscribe on iTunes. Rate us 5 stars and leave a comment. Maybe we'll read it on the show.
Yes. We haven't had a new comment in a while. So people just, you know, speak on your spirit about how much you like us.
Yeah, please speak on your spirit. And additionally, I just want to say thank you guys so much for interacting with me on Snapchat. It's brought a lot of joy into my life. You guys are really cute. Like, someone was asking, people have been asking their boyfriends if I should buy a gun. Like, wow. Just things that mean a lot to me. Well, that's my thing on Snapchat. I like to ask people if I should buy a gun.
I like that.
No one thinks I should buy a gun so far.
Add me to your Snapchat. Oh, Fat okay. Tony Rap.
Okay, yeah, I will add like you. It. And I think the whole internet will add you, too.
Come on with it. Fat Tony Rap. Add me on your Snapchat and send me stuff. Don't cute. Be shy.
Yeah.
Don't be shy. Right. Nice
I've only gotten one pic that I thought was inappropriate, and oddly enough, it was a girl sitting on a toilet.
That's nasty.
No, I know. I was like, girl, come on.
I don't want to see that
That's
shit.
That's the one internet thing I don't understand. Like, why are you, like, everyone, sure, everyone knows you probably have your phone on the toilet. Great. Why are you taking pictures? Like, that's not when you interact with that portion of media. That's ridiculous. Why do immature. You feel that's too far? It's too far. All right, guys, have a good week. Bye.